Well, who else? Who have we left out? We've talked about everybody, right? When it comes to Christmas, we've talked about, you know, everybody from the before the foundation of the earth all the way to Anna in the temple. And we talked about John the Baptist early on in our introduction to Christmas this year. But, and we referenced him even this morning as leaping in the womb when he heard the news of the pregnancy that Mary had with the Savior. But in verse number 39 of Luke chapter 1, it tells us Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. Now, it's not specific as to where they went, except we understand that she lived in Nazareth and she has traveled this distance early in the pregnancy, of course, to her cousin's house, Elizabeth. And it is, of course, her Elizabeth's husband, Zacharias. We talked about him with the coming of John the Baptist. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, why was that necessary? Well, when we understand that what she's hearing, again, the same way that Joseph heard it, is a fantastic, unbelievable story. It is something that has happened one time. Right? Sarah and Abraham. Sarah got pregnant when she was old. Elizabeth got pregnant when she was past her age. And we see those remarkable things, but still, it took the natural course. Mary is telling us that she is pregnant, not by a man, but by the Holy Ghost, which is what the Bible tells us occurred. And so when Mary tells this story to Elizabeth, Elizabeth is filled with the presence of God, the Holy Ghost of God, as Mary has God, the Son, in her womb. Isn't that incredible? In order for Elizabeth to receive with faith what Mary is telling her. It doesn't surprise me that there are doubters to the story of a virgin conception and virgin birth. It doesn't surprise me that there are people who doubt the truth about God saying, "Let there be light," and there was light. And the whole rest of that week as he created and formed and developed what we see now. It doesn't surprise me when people doubt that God sent a worldwide flood and saved 8 people on an ark. See, those are things that are too fantastic for our minds, our natural mind, to receive. Because we've never seen it happen. That the Hebrews left Egypt and God opened the waters of the Red Sea and they crossed on dry ground. And that he brought the water back, that it was a wall of water, and he brought the water back in its place when the Egyptian army entered. It's fantastic. It's incredible. I've never seen it happen. But I believe that God made the day stop, that he, in fact, moved the earth backward so that the sundial would show a recurrence of time, as God said happened. Of course, he describes it as stopping the sun, but we know how it works. I believe that God made time back up, that he made it stand still, that as much as when Moses' arms were held up, the Israelites were successful, and when he put his arms down, they were beaten. I believe that God can do fantastic, unbelievable, wonderful things, even if it's only been done one time. And I believe those things, not because I have studied the Bible, but because I have studied the Bible under the great influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Because people read the Bible all the time. They read the Bible to find fault with the Bible. And some people read the Bible in order to see if God is real. And as they read the Bible speaks to them. And what does the Bible say? It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. People get saved when they look in the Word of God, even to disprove it. But I admit, it's hard to believe some of the accounts that God gives us in Scripture without the Holy Ghost. And I believe that Elizabeth would have been like any other doubter had God not given her His own presence in the Holy Ghost that day. Verse 42, she spake with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Do we really sense that blessing? Elizabeth is in awe. She says, you came to see me. Are we grateful when people take note of us? I'm sure you got Christmas cards. And I get Christmas cards from people I don't see all year. Haven't seen in years. I love them and they're my friends. But what a blessing just to say, hey, they thought of me. And that's what Elizabeth is saying here. She says, of all the people Mary could have gone to see and to share her testimony, she came to me. The mother of my Lord. She gets it. With the Holy Ghost inside of her, she understands it. And she tells Mary, lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she that believed. You see, the words, especially in the Jewish culture, they understood the value of words. And it's something that we're still kind of figuring out. You see, what we say to people matters. When we tell them that they're pretty or ugly or beautiful, or if we tell them that they're mean, or we tell them that they're kind, or we tell them that they're loving, or we tell them that they're hateful, or we tell them that they're smart, or we tell them that they're stupid. 1-year-old baby sits on my lap and tries to repeat the things I say. Can't say it. But everything she does, I try to tell her, you're so smart. Now, she's not smart like a grown-up, of course. But is she smart for a 1-year-old? And I try to encourage even the older ones, when they do something that doesn't seem very remarkable to us, I try to tell them, oh, you're so smart. Try to tell them each day, at least the girls, you're so pretty. You're so beautiful. I try to reinforce that so that they won't grow up with that complex that many girls do. And sometimes I'll even say to the boys, you're so strong. There's something. Something to build their mind that they are capable. Because our words matter. Our words, when we say blessings, and that's what Elizabeth is saying as she speaks to Mary. Blessed. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Blessed is she that believed. You see, Mary, you had a choice, didn't you? You had a choice, Mary. You had a choice to say no. You see, God would not have imposed himself. Though he had planned and he went through the lineage and brought them to exactly the right place, you know that Mary could have said no and Joseph could have continued with his plan to divorce, the Bible says, put her away, to divorce Mary because they were legally bound, though they had not come together as husband and wife. They could have said no. And we could have said no. Not only in salvation, but as God calls us beyond our salvation, we can say no. Each moment, each day, as the Holy Ghost draws us and reminds us of things that we should be doing and people that we should be reaching out to, we could say no. Elizabeth said, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. What does the Bible say? He who began a good work in me will be faithful to continue that work. Be faithful to do it. To complete it. Faithful to complete it. Verse 46, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." There, you have to understand, we're seeing the development of this little girl. This girl who's now become a woman. She's grown into this calling of God that will change her life, that will make her life, that will bring her into the testimonies of all those who believe in Jesus forever. She says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Oh, remember when the angel came and she was afraid. But now she's praising God. She's magnifying God. She's worshiping God. It's changed for her. And we see something different in verse number 48. And I don't know if you've ever considered this. It says, "He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." You see, Mary didn't think very much of herself. You see that? She didn't think much of herself. She didn't think she could do anything great. She was poor in a poor town, no account town. Remember? Well, what was it that Nathaniel said? "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" I know, just like y'all think of Pahokee, I get it. But see, she didn't think much of herself, but God saw in her something that he could do. She didn't think much of herself. She didn't think much of her surroundings. She didn't think much of her ability. She says God has regarded the low estate. The low estate. There was a need there. There was an insecurity there. How many people do we know that have an insecurity? They're not sure of themselves and they're not sure of their purpose. And you know what they need? They need to understand the calling of God, the purpose of God in their lives. And that's what she found. That's what she received, was the calling of God to understand the purpose of God for her life. Look at what she says. "For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed." I don't know. You think maybe she was picked on in the neighborhood with the other girls? It paints a picture for me of somebody whose testimony and reputation and hope has turned around. From now on, they're not going to call me what they used to call me. Remember Naomi as she returned to Bethlehem? "Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara. Call me grief and call me sorrow. Call me defeated." But they never called her that, did they? They kept calling her by her name. Now things have turned around for this little girl. Verse 49, "He that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." See, God's grace was part of their lives. It is part of our lives. But understand something, it doesn't get passed down. God's grace comes to those who fear him. God's mercy comes to those who look to him in hope and then call out to him in salvation. Those are the ones who experience the mercy of God. Those are the ones who experience the blessings of God. Verse 51, "He has showed strength with his arm. He scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." Who did God choose? God didn't choose the most popular girl in the school, did he? He didn't choose the homecoming queen. He chose the one who thought she'd never accomplish anything, at least not much. She didn't think much of herself. He didn't need someone who was proud and boastful and thought highly of themselves. He needed someone who was humble. He needed somebody of low estate. Like I said this morning, you know, once we reach a point where dying is no longer fearful to us, we can accomplish great things. But when we're too afraid to die, turns out we're too afraid to live. And that's the reality. God needs people who are surrendered, who don't fear what man can do to us. He scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He didn't go to Jerusalem, did he? He didn't choose a Pharisee's daughter or Sadducee's daughter. He didn't choose a daughter of the priest that lived in Jerusalem and served at the temple. He didn't choose somebody who thought they had already accomplished something. He looked to somebody and he said, "This will be the biggest thing in your life. This will be the only thing in your life." Verse 52, he has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them, look, of low degree. Again, there's that insecurity. There's that humility. There's that little girl, Mary, who just said, I don't think that life is going to turn out to be much. Wasn't she surprised? Verse 53, he has filled the hungry with good things. You see the difference? You see that verse? You see that? You know, you could fill the hungry with food, but you could fill them with good food, and it adds to the experience. God doesn't just want us to be saved, just live till we die. He wants to improve the experience. He wants us to have abundant life. He wants us to have a gracious life, a wonderful life. As he spoke about that well, as he spoke to the Samaritan woman, he said it'd be bubbling up and overflowing. That's what God wants from us and for us. He is hoping his servant, verse 54, in remembrance of his mercy. Verse 55, he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Mary leaned on her understanding of Scripture. You see, when God was choosing a mother for his son, he chose somebody who was paying attention to what he had already said. He was choosing someone who had studied the Scriptures, who had searched the Scriptures, who knew the prophecy, who understood what God was going to do. We talked about Simeon, how Simeon had looked for the coming of the Savior, and Anna had prayed for the coming of the Savior, and the wise men who looked for the star, and when that star came, they said, that represents the Christ that is coming. And so there were people who were looking for Christ. They were expecting Jesus. John the Baptist was being born so that he could go forward and preach that Jesus was here. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God was preparing all of these things. And Mary was searching the Scriptures, and she said, Abraham, he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. The Bible says Mary abode with her about 3 months and then returned to her own house. What's the point? The point is her life changed when she got Jesus in her, didn't she? When she had Jesus in her, her life turned around. And the same is true for us. Guys, when we get the Savior living inside of us, our lives change. Our expectation, our hope, our perspective changes. Our thinking changes. Our attitude changes. Our actions change. If we let them. What is it that Elizabeth said? She said, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. If we will look for God to work in our lives, we can do great things. What does that mean? It means we can do good things to many people, for many people. God has given us hope and joy. The same way he did for Mary, by revealing our life's purpose with Jesus in us. Inspired praise to God, and it flipped the script of her life. Here was somebody who thought, my life won't add up to much. Go around, talk to people. Most people will eventually lay out that they don't think their life counts for much. They go to work, come home. Go to work, come home. They're in a cycle of defeat. They are defeated. But those people who understand that our purpose is eternal, that our calling is eternal, that what we do today matters for eternity. You see, those people have purpose. Those people have praise for God. Because God has looked on our low estate. And he saw greater than we saw in ourselves. I don't know about you. I had some pretty lofty goals when I was a boy. Before I understood the call that God had placed on my life, I was going to do big things. But I don't think any of those things would have brought me the satisfaction that I have found by serving the Lord. And I'm sure the same is true for you. Let's stand. God, we love you so much. We're thankful for the opportunity to come and to look at this, and we're thankful for that humble, surrendered, obedient girl who became the mother of our Savior. And that with the Savior living inside of her, her life changed. And with the Savior living inside of us, our lives have changed. God, we worship you, we celebrate you, we love you. We pray that through this week, as we leave this place and go out, that we can make a difference. That souls will be saved and the lives will be changed. That hearts will be refreshed. We pray for those who are broken and weary and defeated. And we pray, God, give them grace and take us to them so we can show them the way of salvation. Dismiss us with your blessing and bring us back again in Jesus' name. Amen.